everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Cannot stop watching Austin Rivers tee up his dad. Yeah, Thanksgiving is going to be weird. Also, Steelers-Browns, Baker Mayfield pleading with Cleveland fans for silence while they have the ball. The intricacies of the Browns offense needs a mute button. Yes, there we go. Optimal performance of that offense. You know, when they're in the red zone, six consecutive plays this evening, they need to be quiet. Steelers-Browns tonight. Looks better than it did a few weeks ago. Pittsburgh 5-4 had panelists earlier in the week giving Mike Tomlin coach of the year for that. But the Browns, let's start with Baker Mayfield imploring home fans to be quiet while the offense is at work. You've heard this before. Every stadium has this on the Jumbotron. I made a joke about the intricacies of their offense, but there was a false start at a big moment last week. But that this is at least taking up a portion of Mayfield's headspace going into this game, Frank. Is that a good thing or maybe not so good a thing?
In keeping with that theme, I want Woody to keep it down as I'm speaking today. You know, if you're Baker Mayfield, when you say it, everyone looks at it as an excuse that you're trying to blame things on the crowd. If Tom Brady had come out and said it, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, you say, well, they won Super Bowls before. It makes a lot of sense. I think his heart is in the right place, but I still think he's going to get a lot of criticism. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Blackstone, so much of a spotlight's on that Browns offense. How did you hear it from Mayfield?
Well, I heard it just as that. He's making excuses for their performance. The other week we were talking about Baker Mayfield and how he was shaving during the game. Now we're talking about his concerns about crowd noise in the game. How about some concern about the 9 touchdowns and 12 interceptions? How about some concern about the 75 passer rating that you have this year and getting that better? You were much, much better last week. It did lead to a victory, but that's where the focus should be, not on the crowd noise. Come on.
Page.
Kevin, that's part of the aspect of being a quarterback, of being a leader. Every quarterback really has done this at some time in his career. Peyton Manning in Indianapolis would get total quiet. It would be library quiet in that stadium when they were in offense. And when he came to Denver, he reached out to people and said, hey, I want you to be quiet when I'm talking. And they would put it up on the Jumbotron, you know, calm it down. I don't blame him for doing that. There are a lot of things you can criticize for him, but you got to also remember, Kevin, based on the commercials, he lives in that stadium. It's his house. He is willing to tell people, you know, keep it an inside house.
And right. Ramona Shelburne.
Look, the message that he's delivering might be right, but he's picked the wrong moment to deliver it. I mean, Frank's kind of making my point for me, which is that, you know, Tom Brady can say that. Russell Wilson can say that. Somebody with a track record in this league can say that. But Baker's not there yet. He hasn't proven himself in this league. And, you know, you can say that to the home fans, but you still have to deal with crowd noise when you're on the road. So at some point, you just have to get over that and pick the right moment to deliver things like that. Because right now, you seem like a guy who's the game's too fast.
Frank, can we put the Browns offense under the microscope? What do you need to see tonight from them against Pittsburgh?
Well, clearly, it's getting the ball to Odell Beckham. They got to get him a lot more involved. And when Chubb is running the ball, you look at the best one that they've had. They've only had three. Was when they gave the ball to Chubb and they beat Baltimore and he had that long run. So I think it's about running the ball, but get Beckham involved. He's, you know, we criticize Beckham a lot because he's always complaining, but he's right about it. Get in the ball and let him make plays.
Yeah, they've got to have a clean sheet because you're going up against a Steelers team that is noted for its defense. Had four turnovers last week, and you, as a Cleveland Browns team this year, has struggled. You've struggled with turnovers. That's really been one of your self-injuries this year. So they've got to have a clean sheet.
Woody Page?
Frank, you were half right. They've gotten Kareem Hunt back. We haven't seen him because of the suspension. And you, with that combo with Chubb, I think you run the football as much as you can against the Steelers, who have Fitzpatrick doing an incredible job in that backfield with 500.
And Ramona, you can open this up to include the Steelers as well, who are now over 500. How will tonight be won?
Look, they've been winning on defense. I mean, I watched them against the Rams last week, and I know the Rams' offensive line was decimated by injuries, but Minkah Fitzpatrick has totally changed their defense. Yeah. I mean, when he got there, they were giving up 440 yards a game, 30 points a game. Now they're down to 17 points and 300 yards a game. They've completely changed.
All right, let me hear a pick. I need something to go to bed with tonight, knowing I can mute somebody on the back end. So just yell it out. I want to hear who you got, Browns or Steelers?
Browns.
Steelers.
Browns.
Steelers.
All right. Ramona, didn't hear anything. All right, we'll move on. I've enjoyed the analysis all day from people who watched Rockets and Clippers last night. As the father of a son, I feel particularly close to this technical. As the son of a father, this tee has special meaning to me. As the host of a panel, I look forward to your answers here. Rockets 102, Clippers 93, Harden's 47, Harden's defense on Kawhi at the end, and diagnosing the doc. He wanted a challenge. He took too much time to decide that. The refs told him that, gave him a tee, another tee, no timeout restored, and an ejection. Ramona, well, how this all played out? Was this the correct way to do it?
Look, the pool report afterwards was incredible. I mean, Tony Brothers basically said, yeah, we told Doc that he still had his timeout after the challenge. He tried to use it on the challenge. But then when he tried to use the timeout, we told him, you didn't have the timeout. So I understand why he's mad. Like, they told him he had a timeout. So it makes sense. But if you were at that point in the game, I think he was trying to get run because James Harden had just hit a dagger three. Patrick Beverley had just fouled out. Like, he was in a place where he was just going to vent. And further on in the pool report, Tony Brothers flat out said, we gave him a chance to regain his composure, but that didn't happen.
Woody Page?
Tone, if you were at a referee school, you would show that video from last night and say, guys, this is the total way not to do it. Not at all. They totally confused everybody. I'm sitting at home going, I don't know what's going on. You got an injured player down over here. You got the Doc's talking to two referees over here. The another referee's trying to throw him out of the game. And it's a good thing, really, that the Clippers weren't in the game at that point, because you could then pin all of that with the technical free throws on how they lost the game. But they'd already gotten down, as Ramona said. But the officials never gave a clear explanation. They should have gotten help from Frank's hometown in New Jersey, from those guys that are watching the game, but they totally got it wrong.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the NBA has a situation with this challenge rule. And clearly it is most situational with Doc Rivers, who we talk about now almost every night, being confused or having misused or misunderstood or being misunderstood when it comes to dealing with this issue. They did not get it right. Everybody's absolutely correct. The pool report even proves it. So they need to get this straightened out. Having said that, it did make for some great theater at that moment in the game to see his son behind him saying, yeah, tee dad up. That was funny.
Greg Isola.
Yeah, I coached my son plenty of times, and he wanted me kicked out of just about every game, and I was his coach at the time. As it relates to Doc Rivers, with about 4:30 to go in the game, remember, that's a four-point game. Clint Capella's down on the ground, Houston's calling timeout, then the Clippers are, and everything is about getting things right. The referees come over to Doc Rivers and said, you know what, you're right, it should be your ball, you waited too long. So everyone's trying to figure out the rule, but it's clearly not working right now in the NBA.
Yeah, I disagree, Woody. I mean, it's still a four-point game. Westbrook on Patrick Beverley. There's history, of course. Westbrook injury in the playoffs in 2013. But I know you're all here for the petty. And last night we got the king, Richard Petty.
That Bev trick y'all, man, like you play defense. So you don't guard nobody, man. Just running around doing nothing.
He's right. Harden had 47, but Harden was 0 of 6 when Beverly was on him, Ramona. So how do you hear Westbrook last night?
Yeah, I mean, he's just flat out wrong. Like, Patrick Beverly was the only guy who was stopping James Harden last night. Kawhi Leonard was actually not as effective on him as a primary defender. Harden was 2 for 5 with Kawhi on him as a defender. And when Patrick fouled out, which was kind of a bad call at that point, that's really what turned this game because he was the only guy who had a chance of stopping Harden.
Right, Gasola?
Well, you know, I think it obviously goes back to the history between the two. And I think Russell Westbrook, and there is definitely a culture of players who feel like the media kind of latches on to certain storylines about Patrick Beverly being a great defender. That's really Russell Westbrook going after the media more than just Patrick
Beverly. Okay, but there is history with he and Beverly. He has no problem going against Beverly, I think, after the knee-to-knee in 2013. Ramona, real quick, Rockets showing you a little bit more than maybe you had first thought to start this season?
Yeah, look, I mean, this game meant something to them, right? Because the Clippers are the heavy that are coming into their town and the dynamic duo debate. So they did seem to be feisty. I thought that was gone from their game when Chris Paul left, but.
Oh, you thought they lost their feist when they got Russell Westbrook? Come on. We'll move on.
At least Kawhi played.
1, 2, 3, 4. Let's talk baseball. Details on baseball's investigation into the Astros' sign stealing have emerged via Jeff Passan's report. Investigations not just for 2017, the Astros championship season, but the last 3 years to determine if technology was used. AJ Hinch will be interviewed by the league. And then so will Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran, all three with the Astros in 2017. But that's three managers in the league right now. The Red Sox and Beltran now with the Mets, of course. Woody, how do you consider the position baseball's in? And do you trust the process here?
I don't trust the process, but it's a real ugly situation for baseball because of what's happened. You could go back to 1951, and I'm not giving you a history lesson other than the technology used then was a telescope in an office room. So I think that we've seen now that the technology has advanced beyond the game in terms of how teams can steal it. If you look at during the playoffs, you could see 5 or 6 TVs in each dugout. You don't know where they were aimed and what you could see. We've always worried about that center field camera on the catcher's signals, so they've got to investigate every team. I think it's widespread, according to what a former major league pitcher told me yesterday. Most people are doing it, so you got to do something about it.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a part of baseball lore, right? Stealing signals and stealing signs, all that kind of stuff. And it still is a part of it. But when you add technology to it, it takes it to an entirely different level. And it's something everybody can do. It's something that can be done without anybody knowing about it. And now it's starting to come out. And absolutely, they need to clean it up. And let's not forget, and this is taking it to another extreme, but we just had the deal between the Cardinals and the Astros, the guy who got caught hacking into the computer system with the Astros. He's in jail.
Yes, yes. Frank and Ramona, we had you on yesterday when we first addressed this story. Mm-hmm. Hearing A.J. Hinch being called into the league office, so to speak, Frank, how does that change the way you view this?
Well, the Houston Astros are going to get in trouble, and the way you can really penalize them, because remember, they built their team through the draft, and you know, everything, the analytics game, and they were tearing everything down to build it back up. That's what you do. Take away draft picks. What I love about the story, though, if they did it in 2017, you don't think they stopped doing it? We just found out about 2017. Clearly, they did it in 2018, 2019. If only George Steinbrenner was still around, we would have a full-blown Seinfeld episode because he'd be losing his mind because the Yankees got knocked out twice in the last 3
Ramona,
years.
Ramona, A.J. Hinch being called into the league office?
Yeah, look, AJ's always kind of gotten away and separated himself from the management side of these things. Like, he tends to be the guy who tells the truth and he's honest, whereas Jeff Luhnow comes across as the guy who's trying to exploit every single angle here. And so we'll see what he says when he's in that chair. But I'm interested in Beltran and Cora being called in there, too, because that's always the danger with cheating. People leave the organization.
Right, right. And that's how, you know,
that's
buyers...
Not
but with those three guys, I mean, that's 10%. Three of the 30, just 10% of the managers of the league that are being asked about this. Taking a break right here, buy or sell on the other side. I think if you look, Ramona, there are some AJ Hinch quotes about this in the past where he's, you know, speaking very carefully, especially about the Yankees
Garrett
questioning
Cole
him.
Still in the bullpen. Get him out of there.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
News of the day from college basketball. Memphis has declared James Wiseman ineligible. Wiseman withdrawing his suit with the NCAA. The school will apply for a reinstatement immediately, and he's practicing with the team. The case is getting thicker. His law firm is getting longer. Look at that at the bottom there. Ramona Shelburne, how do you consider this?
Well, look, I mean, he's going to be a top 2, 3, 4 pick no matter what happens with this lawsuit. And I think Memphis sees him in this spot and says, okay, there's a little soft spot in the schedule coming up here. Maybe this is the time we fight this out and withdraw that lawsuit. But
okay. He's
able to play in that Oregon game.
Woody Page?
After I'd criticized what Memphis did on the show on Monday, I think this is a very positive step. I think the NCAA and the University of Memphis have been talking, sort of sidetracking, and they're figuring out a way that they can make him eligible for the only year he's going to play college basketball.
Sidebarring, maybe, right? How about you, Kevin Blackstone?
Just call me the cynic, because I think I saw him on a certain network in a big national game, and now I'm not going to see him in games that are not necessarily on television, just like the NCAA is bringing Chase Young back for what? The Penn State game right around Thanksgiving. Very interesting.
Frank Isola.
Woody, get things in order in your hometown of Memphis. Kevin is right, though, because what they're doing here is CBS, the NCAA, Memphis, they want to make sure he's available for those big games that matter when everyone is watching college basketball, March and April. He'll be available after 9-game suspension.
Okay, so you all think this is going to be a couple of weeks here and we'll move on. Mm-hmm. Buy or sell too. Cam Newton and the Bears. This is not a report, but NFL Network's Ian Rapoport opining that not only would he be open to trade to Chicago, Cam Newton would welcome a trade to Chicago. Buy or sell, Woody Page?
Well, I suspect this coming out of his agent's office at some point. And yes, they're preparing for the future, and Chicago is a good locale for him, but I believe there are going to be at least 6 or 7 teams that would love to have him come back. Peyton Manning made that comeback. He's still a young man. Cam is 30. I think he's still going to play big.
KB, how does Chicago strike you for Cam Newton?
You know what? I love that idea. I mean, you've done all you can. You got to a Super Bowl down there in the Carolinas. Go up to Chicago, which has always needed a quarterback, it seems. You got a good defense up there. You could be a winner up there. You could be a savior.
My guy,
I like that move.
It pains me to say this. Woody's right, though. I think a number of teams are going to be interested in him if he is healthy. If Cam Newton is healthy, you try to sign him. He's still a big-time player. Health is the question.
All right, well, Woody was right. Woody gets your point, Frank Isola. And how about you, Ramona Shelburne?
Yeah, I mean, look, I like that he's taking control of his own narrative, whether it's him or his agent or somebody with knowledge of his thinking.
Yes, yes.
This is the first kind of we've heard of where Cam sits on whether he wants to be traded or where his future lies in Carolina. And it's good. Put it out
funny
there.
Funny that you think he's taking control of it, because you just lost a little control of yours with a banned word, Ramona Shelburne. We'll move on. Buy or sell three.
Right.
Lamar Jackson.
No, I paid Lamar Jackson ball.
I did.
I don't pay nobody else ball.
Lamar indicating he's not here for comparisons. It's Jackson versus Deshaun Watson Sunday. How do you hear that, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I hear what he's saying. He's tired of those comparisons. It's kind of trite. We always compare black quarterbacks with another black quarterback, and that's what he's getting at there. Remember, this is a guy who, after he won the Heisman, and people wondered whether or not he could play quarterback in this league, they wanted to make him a wide receiver, all that kind of stuff. He is playing Lamar Jackson ball.
Right, guys, Solo.
I think Watson runs to escape pressure. I think Lamar Jackson runs to try to score touchdowns. I do think there is a difference. And I think Lamar Jackson is saying, don't compare me to anybody. Right now, there's nobody in the NFL like me.
Mona Shelburne?
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a comparison between them other than they have parallel stories. But they, you know, Watson's run for like 1,100 yards in 31 starts, and Lamar Jackson on pace to run for 1,200 yards this year. So they're really different guys.
Woody Page.
Yeah, if you look at the on pace, as Ramona's talked about, looking at guys that could have, you know, 3,800 yards passing and 40 touchdowns this year, my answer to you, and it's not going to give me any points, is I will take either one of them.
Yes, I knew you would, yes, especially in Denver. Well, you had brought up Fran Talkington with Lamar earlier this week, Woody Page, and I said, you don't always have to compare somebody. And that's when KB said he's not changing the game, he's changing people's minds.
Yeah. Can't compare.
Woody, you didn't change my mind today. You did not at all.
Watson,
Frank Isola didn't change my mind. Ramona Shelburne, you survived the use of a banned word.
I know.
And Kevin Black
is gone. Hold it out.
Go down deck. Stick around.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Shelburne and Black is telling good luck in showdown. Ja Morant's game winner, the head start. He's getting maybe Zion Williamson for this Rookie of the Year race. Ramona, is it significant? And what are you seeing in Morant's game?
Look, Ja, I picked Ja as my Rookie of the Year coming into this season. I don't know that Zion can catch up. I mean, he's already got two late game finishes already. That game in Brooklyn where he teed up Jay Crowder and blocked Kyrie, and now that game winner, he's way ahead.
Yeah, it's a good head start for him. He's averaging 18, what, about 5 assists a game, playing really well. But as soon as Zion comes back, that's where all the television cameras go. It's just like all the planets will gravitate right there. You know he'll have some big stuff, some big games. And
planets are gravitating. Planets will be aligning. Okay. Yeah, I think it's how you finish, not maybe how you start. Point Blackstone, showdown 2. Zlatan out. As he leaves L.A., answer this. What was better from Zlatan? His entrance, which was, dear L.A., you're welcome in the L.A. Times, or his exit, which was, I came, I saw, I conquered. You wanted Zlatan. I gave you Zlatan. You are welcome. Now go back to watching baseball. KB, what was better?
I love the brevity of the first one, but I love the language in the second one. I gave you Zlatan, now go back and watch baseball. That is tremendous. And what that guy did in between was fantastic.
Tony, you just said it. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You put Momo in the showdown, you make Momo win the showdown.
Ooh.
No?
Third person here. Ooh.
Did you see what I did?
Kevin Blackstone, take the FaceTime. Oh. I'm not rewarding third person.
Thank
I can't
you
do
very
it.
Much. About 10 years ago, I brought a young man by the name of Colin Bird to watch taping of the Round the Horn. He went on to go to the University of Maryland. While he was there, he led a student movement to get the name Curly Bird removed from the football stadium. Curly Bird was a segregationist in the first half of the last century who was really bad news for Maryland. Well, Colin Bird continued on his political mission and just a few nights ago was elected mayor of Greenbelt, Maryland at 27 years old. And if you haven't seen the speech that he gave that was really so heartfelt and so brilliant, you got to go check it out at the Greenbelt, Maryland website. Colin Bird, congratulations.
A guest in our studio is now the mayor of Greenbelt, Maryland. And
yes,
a great
you
order.
Inspired him.
Yes, he learned from Kevin Blackstone and Woody Page and Frank Isola.
Woody's the mayor.
We'll see you tomorrow.